I really like static site generators. I like server rendered websites. I'm an old dinosaur. Shopping Maniacs, you're listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show. Shop Talk powers 25% of the internet. Did you know that, Chris?
Is it?
God, yeah. They should have like a URL that has the whole the actual number, percentage of internet WordPress, because it changes, you know? And so I thought it was dang near getting on a third these days. No, it's 25% is what Google's, but it's easy to find a 30% statistic too. Anyway.
Sorry, that really derailed you right away from the beginning. This is kind of going to be a WordPress-themed Q&A because we get, you know, y'all write in questions, and WordPress being apparently over a quarter of the internet, maybe a quarter of our questions end up being about WordPress in some way or another.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. This is fun. WordPress is obviously, we use it here at Shop Talk for our blog.
I think you had a minor amount of trip of like, it's been a minute since you've like dev'd a WordPress theme.
You know, it has. It's been a while, like a couple. I mean, I've worked on WordPress. Like I can think of a couple sites that are live that I worked on, but yeah, it's been just a while. So I'm kind of maybe rusty. So I kind of need to catch up on what's happening in WordPress land. So I know Gutenberg's a thing.
I don't know how much it changed. Like it's been a minute since I've done one from scratch too. And like, how would I, if I was tasked with that right now, like, hey, here's a design, make this a theme. I'm sure I could get it done, but I wonder what I would do wrong, because I would use, like, are the ways that I approach things like perfectly relevant now, or is there like new APIs and new ways of doing things that I just don't know about? And just the traditional way too, just like, I don't know, use actual WordPress functions to make a PHP static-ish site, not like this fancy stuff, like use it as a headless API kind of stuff, which we might get into, but I suspect that we would do okay. I don't think it changes that much. There's still a loop, right? And you template it up and
the WordPress API is obviously very interesting. I just was thinking, sorry, we got questions, right? But yeah, I know a few people are like in the process of like moving their sites over to like a kind of React or something front end with like a WordPress backend, like using this REST API that WordPress has.
Let's get into this. If we're gonna do it, let's do it. So WordPress has by default your self-install WordPress if you're up to date on WordPress, which everybody in the world should be, maybe without even you knowing it. That's just the nature of it. There's URL endpoints that will cough up a lot of your site's data in JSON format. So you have an API to the data on your site automatically, and what's JSON data, but, you know, totally digestible for all sorts of reasons, including building maybe a website in a totally different way, like a site that is JavaScript based, that just asks for that data and builds its whole self full of JavaScript. That's what you're talking
about. Yeah. So, you know, like, WordPress's search is like, kind of like just, not a lot of CMSs give you like the search for everything out of the box, you know? And I just was like, oh man, having like this like search API would actually be really awesome. Like if I could hit it from the like WordPress REST API, like that would be very cool. It was just in my brain. I was just like,
can you as search part of the REST
API? I think there's like a filter, like S filter keyword kind of thing. I'm just looking at some blog post.
What did you have in mind?
I have autocomplete results or something like that, or like, you know, I don't know. I have a blog and it would be nice to search it, but then the only way to do that for like a Jekyll blog is to like output like a 3 megabyte JSON file that is every post in every word you've ever written in a giant file, you know? So that doesn't seem optimized for me. So it'd be nice to hit a database to get something back, you know, kind of,
So the kind of what comes across the wire or whatever is lighter.
Mm-hmm. So
that's interesting. I wonder if anybody's ever used WordPress like that. I want my front end to be Jekyll, but then I'm going to use some kind of like Jekyll to WP posts kind of conversion so that I can hit a WordPress engine to spit out search results, because that's like more efficient.
Or just like, I don't know. There's so many I don't know. There's just so many times you just kind of want like a search functionality. And WordPress has it by default. I keep forgetting that about
it WordPress. It does have it, but it's kind of notoriously, it's not bad, right? Because it just does a dumb search of everything . And it just organizes them by, not even by relevance, just mostly by recent. Mm-hmm. So if you have a site of any kind of size, it's not good.
Okay.
The results are just like whatever, but that's okay. But it might be fine if it was just like, if your site was, I don't know, a wiki of all the Marvel characters or something, it would probably have amazing search results.
Yeah.
Because everything is so different that you just get exactly what you needed. Yeah. It's just a site like CSS Tricks where everything is the same and we have 50 posts about variable fonts. You're not going to get the best one. You're going to get the most recent one, and it's not great. I should say, though, that Jetpack, who's sponsoring this episode, and I'm just a huge fan of Jetpack, now has another feature on their site that it just replaces your default WordPress search with WordPress server-powered Elasticsearch.
Okay.
So now your search results are way better because it can.
Wow.
It knows. Yeah. Right. Wow. Indeed. I think this is a big deal.
Because I was like, oh, maybe I could like do a blah, blah, sync to an Elasticsearch, blah, blah, blah. And you're saying like, I just installed Jetpack now and it does it.
Yeah. Now the question is, is the API results, the REST API results, then also powered by Elasticsearch too? Oh. I don't know, but you could scrape your own site to get it for sure. So it's not like impossible anyway. I totally switched to it on CSS Tricks, which was a bold move, I think, for me, because I for a long time used just Google search results because I think, to be fair, that's what the world expects. Mm. And Google search results are very, very good. Mm. And they're algorithmically powerful. And you can just embed them on your own site. The problem is they're pretty slaughtered in ads, and it's like economically infeasible to remove them.
Google recently was like, well, if you want to search, it's like $20,000 a year. So
So that's kind of no good, even though, but for a while I was like, I'll just put up with it because the results are so good. But if it had any better results, and my trajectory here was to go with Algolia first, which is also a very powerful search tool, which might be of interest to you, Dave, by putting that JSON in Algolia, you might be able to get some pretty sweet results too. Plus they have this doc search thing that's worth looking into, I think.
Okay.
But it's work for sure. And it still isn't as algorithmically good as like Google, because Algolia just has the data they have, not like who knows what data Google has about how the rest of the world links to you.
Mixed with traffic and mixed with.
Right.
Yeah.
But now I've switched over to Jetpack search because it does have more information than you'd think. Cause it has first of all, Elasticsearch is just kind of smart anyway. Like it knows that the word running is like ran and like jogging and stuff. So it kind of like has better intelligence that way. And you can say like, well, I want you, but you should factor in pretty heavily, like the number of comments on this more than you would on a garden variety site. Like I'm telling you, that's pretty good. And factor in the relevance as best you can. And it just has some like intelligence, and we know it has some intelligence because, for example, another Jetpack feature is not to make this whole thing an ad, although they are sponsoring this, so you get what you get here, that they do related posts, which is also a little bit hard to pull off on like a Jekyll site. No. Like here's the three other posts that are about this topic. Good luck.
Yeah, there's there is a related post thing, but it's kind of slows down on compile and maybe is also dumb, like pretty
ignorant. Yeah,
but but
anyway, so there's just a lot going on here. So the search is just a cool thing, and it's super configurable. Like anything you can configure on Elasticsearch, you can like through WordPress, filter function stuff, configure for your search results too. And now I have ad-free, fast, relevant search. That's totally, I can design the heck out of it. It's just part of my templated design. Oh, that's cool. You know, so I'm like, holy crap, that's good. That's good
this
stuff.
This is actually,
you
know? And not, I mean, not to make this whole show an ad. It is good to know, kind of like Jetpack. Like, it, I don't know. I just from like a year or two ago, you know, I have like some feelings about Jetpack. It was that thing that came with WordPress, and I never really clicked anything on there because I was like, I'll just use like a plugin. But like things like related posts or whatever. I mean, how many related post plugins have I had that just quit working? I mean, it's probably on.
Dude, they're 30. Outright banned on a lot of hosts because they're so database intensive, what they need to do to accomplish it. And then even when they do it, it's often not that great. Like, they're slow as heck. That's like a number one offender for bad performance. So why not offload that work to...
It's good to know, like, this stuff is here because I just, you know, again, I kind of been out of it, but, like, this seems way more useful than just what it used to do, like spell checking and stuff like that. So anyway, not to make this whole show an ad, but I had another question about Casper mattresses. Chris, do you, what kind of mattress do you have?
Anyway, so we talked about a lot of stuff there, and we didn't even really totally get into all the REST API stuff, but maybe we'll get there because Ben Byford writes in here. Ben's been a web designer for 9 years, mostly does UX, UI, backend templating, kind of module making, mostly for PHP-based CMSs like WordPress, but he also works with stuff like ProcessWire and Wolf CMS, apparently. So recently I've been pulled into a React project, though, and I feel like it flies in the face of everything I like about coding for the web. So things that I miss when I'm working on this React project, CSS cascading and how CSS lives away from the app code. So we must be using kind of some CSS and JS kind of addition to React. And then the fact in PHP land, templating happens in whatever language you like. You don't have to learn another new syntax. So it seems to me that I'm not doing any actual theming, but I'm just implementing other people's, you know, things, you know, like they just have like
material UI.
Yeah, right. Like these are pre-made modules I'm slapping together. So Ben is like, am I becoming a dinosaur or should I bite the bullet and
dinosaur?
Sorry.
Yes.
should I bite the bullet and learn the React way? So I understand there's some confusion here about what's going on and doesn't feel natural, I guess. So what are your thoughts?
Hashtag big mood. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I mean, it depends on, you know, you work on a team. I hope, I mean, hopefully you haven't like subjected yourself to your stuff, but you know, you kind of have to do what the team does. I feel you with React. I feel like I'm in React and I just spend a lot of time like looking at a render function and then saying like, oh, where's that thing come from? And then I scroll up and then that thing has another thing, like some spaghetti that I have to go chase down more spaghetti, just kind of scrolling up the file to figure out how it all comes together and actually spits out on the page. Mm. Where if you're like used to like WordPress templates, it's very linear, like top down done.
Although I'm not going to argue against you because I have this same thing, but I had a post idea I scribbled up together that I was like, how kind of confusing and high learning curve this can be in WordPress land too. If you're trying to chase down where any little bit of HTML comes from, man, it could be in the post itself. It could be part of a template. It could be part of a plugin. It could come from some internal WordPress thing, like how it spits out comments. It could be a widget. It could be a menu. It could be, a function with a filter, whatever. Like there's 100 places it could come from. And maybe you just happen to know that because you've been working with WordPress for a while. But it certainly can be a chore to chase down exactly where the heck some HTML has been generated in WordPress land as well. So there's just different learning curves.
True. No, yeah. I guess for me, it's always like, I guess it feels very top-down nature from like, okay, I'm starting here. Okay, now that goes out to that file stopped. Okay, let me go to the next place I think it would be and just keep reading. But, you know, I'm just kind of... I just feel you. Like it just felt like I was like plumbing things together. I wasn't really like kind of braving new ground, just for things like rendering basically a blog or even I did an Angular project. It felt a lot like the same way.
Blog, and
it's basically just a blog. I mean, it's like a data repository, but it's like basically a blog, you know?
So that's what, so. you know, Brad Frost was saying a while back was that, you know, he feels like sometimes he's pulled into a React project and it doesn't feel like it was a React project because the entire landscape of web development was surveyed to find the perfect tool for the job. It felt more, I think the word he used was zeitgeisty, you know, like, oh, this is how we build websites now, so let's do it. You know, I've definitely heard of, talked to other people that are like, oh, I work on all our static sites and they're just static pages. And like, we make a view component for like each paragraph pretty much. I'm like, oh my God, it's just static content in here.
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, wild. It does not sound ideal. So
that's just phrase.
I would say, here's what I will say. I mean, like Gutenberg is on the horizon, I know, for WordPress. I just followed the headlines, but show on it. And, it, you know, it looks very promising for authoring. Like, that's what your users of the website are authoring in. And so that may help you. Like, I mean, if you want to craft these plugins that do the authoring experience, you know, like having React chops is going to really help you. So I would actually, you know, I would kind of consider that, you know, as something, I don't know, I would kind of be future looking for like WordPress as a platform. It may not be fun now as you're learning, but like, I mean, you probably need to kind of beef up your React chops if you want to keep working on WordPress to some
there's
degree.
That internal, I mean, not, React stuff, and but the external stuff matters too, which is why this shoehorns into what we were talking about before, is that you can build a React site and totally use no PHP to render the site whatsoever. Just when you need data, you hit WordPress endpoints and build sites that way. This isn't theoretical. A lot of people are doing this now. This is like become a thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, fine, we'll just use the WordPress CMS spot, but we want to build our front end how we want to build it, and we're just going to hit these data endpoints. It seems like it's been working for people. So that's cool.
No,
that's cool. I was saying Ben's question too. There is some confusing bits in here, Ben, where you're like, things that I miss in React, the CSS cascade, like this, that has kind of nothing to do with it. Like maybe your project has something going on, but like you don't just, I wouldn't want people to hear that and be like, oh, if I use React, I can't use CSS or something. Like these technologies come together in different ways. Like I have a React site and it just uses SAS, just garden variety, normal ass SAS. As not, you know, and I could just be using CSS on it. React doesn't say you must write your styles in this way. The cascade no longer applies on React sites. You know, like it's just not the case. So I get that you're in this learning phase or figuring out how things come together, but you can kind of piece these things together as you need, you know, or if this particular site you're working on has pre-configured components that you're just piecing together, well, that's the case, but React doesn't tell you have to do that. You can build components however the heck you want to.
Definitely. I don't know. I'm trying to be a little bit more positive about the current state of things, but I you know, maybe you know, this ship has sailed. I think we've said that.
You'd before. Be more apt to build a WordPress site for certain situations than you would be to just React it up just because.
I kind of like server thing. I don't know.
You were also on the static site generator world for before the rest of the world.
I really like static site generators. I like server rendered websites. I'm an old designer.
I wonder if you could. I wonder if you could. You know, I think this is easy to forget that a static site generator can still hit APIs and grab dynamic data. You know, we were reminded of that with Phil Hawksworth, and he's got this like comment thing that he built, which is like, it's, you know, think of a Jekyll site where you want to output a comment thread. So when Jekyll builds those static pages, it goes and basically asks a database for all the comments that exist for that particular page and spits them out into that static site. It's not inconceivable. Now, this is much less common. I haven't heard of a lot of people doing this, but hit that WordPress REST API to get the content and build it into a static site. Because you'd be like, I don't know, is that entirely necessary? Isn't that what caching plugins do? You know, kind of, I don't know. So, it's still interesting, you know, that you could have a WordPress site on Netlify if you wired it up just right.
Yeah, you totally could. It could just be a few serverless functions and a bunch of HTML files. I think that's the thing, too, is you think of a site like BuzzFeed or something like that. I have no idea what BuzzFeed renders as, but Like, it could, you know, if it's just a bunch of static JavaScript files in an index.html on a bunch of like CDNs everywhere, and then it all the JavaScript does is it says fetch this URL or fetch this REST endpoint, give me back everything you know about this one, and it can start stitching together pages really, really quickly, or I don't know, it can be very fast. Like, if it's not tied to like, okay, server, query the database and then spit out the web page. Like you could block, you know, it's going to be fast, but like, I don't know, with the site, like very content heavy where somebody's like loading up like 4, 5, 10 articles a day. Like maybe it is worth it to like, just have your UI on a CDN somewhere. And then all the UI does is fetch for data.
So this is the interesting world we live in these days. That's for sure. So like not ignoring it is probably helpful.
Yeah. No, I think you're going to have to, I think we all probably need to bite the bullet, but you know, that said, I know there are people who are biting the bullet and learning the React way, and they're not happy. And they're just like, it's not my favorite thing. And I think that's a fair opinion. I think like, but know why it is, not just like, oh, JavaScript, that's why I don't like it. Like you need like, maybe a bit more of an informed opinion, like why you don't like it. That's what I'm trying to build, because I do not necessarily like it, but I'm trying to build a more informed opinion, because I think the other default is like people just accept it as, oh, wonderful, it's the best thing we have. And it's like, is it though? Like there's a lot of unhappy people and they're just trying to be quiet because they don't want to lose their jobs. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
That's interesting.
Anyway, hey, hashtag. Yikes. Whoa. Well, you want to be employable, right? And every job title is like, hey, you must have 10 years of React. So, hey, not to stir this hot drama pot, because it's been stirred enough by Brad Frost. but like, I just, right now, the zeitgeist, which I think Brad identified very well, is like, this is the best way to build websites. And, you know, so you have to know about it. You have to be like in up to date with the zeitgeist. I mean, if everyone starts wearing, you know, hot pink tomorrow, you have to be like, oh shoot, I probably should get one hot pink shirt so I kind of at least like can blend in. Or else, you know, hey, that was a bad analogy, but.
All right. We got one from Kevin Dench here saying, I'm starting a new project at work. We're redesigning the corporate website in WordPress. In the past, we've just passed around static HTML and CSS to contractors, but whenever a link changes or marketing wants to change the wording of a link, this would have to be resent to all the contractors. Therefore, I've been tasked with creating a universal header. This means on different domains and servers that we own, our customer-created sites, third-party sites, will have a very simple way to give this code to people. The header will need to contain JavaScript, HTML, and CSS. Since the originating site is WordPress, that's where stakeholders will be managing the links and menus. So the HTML will need to be generated per request by WordPress, but also include the necessary JavaScript and CSS. I'm sure I could inline the JavaScript and CSS and the request, the HTML directly, but that seems like a security risk to just dump that on the page. So since it has some search functionality in the header, I'll need to find some way to broadcast that search event to other JavaScript on the page. I'm also concerned about the content flash between when this header is requested and when it appears on the page. Any ideas of good UX patterns that I could use other than my knee jerk of a skeleton loader? Is that the way? This is a very interesting problem, yeah. I think. So there's, you know, imagine there's 30 sites in the world and they all need this exact same header, but they're at different code bases, different domains, different people working on them. They all just want header though. So what you can't do is like PHP include it because it's not available include in the file system of
header from something. Yeah. From some URL.
Like it's, so the obvious thing is like, well, just iframe it or something then. But he's like, no, it needs to like talk to the rest of the page. So I can't do that.
Right. Here would be, so I have some experience on this problem. Microsoft.com is a website I worked on a long time back, 2012. But they have since gone through the process of rolling out a universal header and universal footer. Like that was kind of subsequent to the work we did. And it was a lot of work. I mean, like Microsoft has millions, literally like 10 million pages on their network. So like they had to roll it out to 10 million pages and they've done a pretty good
job. So I guess my question is, was it server side based or did it end up being front? And
so it is, it's kind of both, I guess. Like it's basically you like, curl like URL and you say like, okay, give me this, like download the header today and rebuild or something, or download the footer and then like rebuild the page. So it's basically like,
okay,
like,
so curl it and cache it.
And then you just kind of, and it has all the JavaScript it needs. And maybe you do some dynamic things to mess with the search in there. You know, maybe that part of it is kind of dynamic.
Well, you could tell a third-party site, like, curl it, but pass these parameters when you curl it. And the curl request will read those parameters and be like, I see the ID of this form element should be shenanigans.
So essentially, you need, like, a cron job that goes through and, like, downloads the HTML for the header, and then that becomes your header.php or whatever, you know?
I like that, too, the cron, rather than having it be triggered by a request, because then, like, one person each day is going to get, like, the world's slowest request or the...
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, you know, depending on your organization, I mean, Microsoft is a big company, but, you know, like... If they launch a new product or something, Skype 2, they're launching it, Skype 2. And they need that in the header every day, you know, like try Skype 2. It's new, you know, like they want that as soon as possible. So like,
that's really cool.
So I think they came up with it. It's basically a service. I could
see having it be essentially an API. Yeah, it's a service, right? So it's like you could curl it, but it doesn't have to be. If another site is React based, it could hit this endpoint and it'll still get a chunk of HTML it can blast onto the page. Or if it's a node based site, you know, like whatever it is, it's just a service that you can hit and it returns what you need it to. And it's on you to,
if you're in a WordPress multi-site world, you just set up a header footer page or whatever. And like in, as a global, like multi-site, like, and then you use the REST API from WordPress to curl that HTML and all you have basically a page that is only returning like the HTML for the header. Like that's your page.content.
Yeah, I like that. Because if you're in the WordPress multi-site, then you can use actual WordPress functions to do it. Or you could curl if you needed to. Or if it's a WordPress site, but the other WordPress site's header is elsewhere, you can still curl for it and then use like a WordPress transient to put the cache in it. I like that the setting it up as a service or like kind of an API endpoint means that it's on the site that needs to consume it however they need to and be efficient
about it. Yeah. And you could even do that, like, I mean, depending, but you can maybe even have dynamic stuff at that point too. Like if it's just, I mean, you'd maybe have to do that with some JavaScript, like framework-y kind of stuff to like, you know, change the use sign up button to a user icon or whatever, you know, you're doing, but I don't know. That's something to think about. But yeah, I like that. It's a little bit of kung fu, but I think like you could set that up and make it, you know, make it a plugin or something that does that for it. I think that'd be kind of cool. All right. Hopefully that helps you, Kevin. Hopefully it gets you out of your jam. Steve Polito writes in, apparently jQuery 1.12.4 has a vulnerability, making it susceptible to XSS attacks. WordPress core ships with this version of jQuery. I found this out when a security scan was run against the site I'm building. I know WordPress ships with this version to ensure backwards compatibility with older plugins. I plan on upgrading my site's version of jQuery to avoid any attacks. Do you think WordPress should address this problem by shipping with a more secure version?
Yeah, I'll look at this. So at one point I remember like WordPress or jQuery like had like a 2.0 split or a 3.0 split or something where they're like, that story?
Yeah, so jQuery 2.0 came out and there's even a jQuery 3.0, I think at this point. So like jQuery 1 point whatever, it's probably even higher than 1.12 now, but that one maintains the whole IE, like Six compatibility, basically. Like,
oh, I see. Yeah, it does what jQuery said it was going to do, and says we're gonna go back in time just forever to make the, that's kind of the origins of jQuery. But it kind of makes sense that they started to pull back on that, because some of the reasons that people would stop using jQuery was because, my God, it's so huge. And jQuery is saying, well, it wouldn't have to be so huge if we didn't support all these ancient right. browsers.
And I think jQuery 1, I could be so wrong. jQuery 2.
I just downloaded WordPress and looked. It is one. It, right now, it does ship with 1.12.4. That's the shipping.
That's version. Like, so if I say, like, require scripts or NQ, WP and Q script jQuery, it puts an insecure version in there? That would be intense.
Well, so I would say it's not, Steve is saying, should WordPress upgrade their version of jQuery? Maybe, but only if their version of WordPress has other stuff that doesn't support the same stuff. You know, like if they're also dropping IE6, then yeah, upgrade your jQuery. But I would say this is more of a jQuery problem. And if there's literally a security vulnerability in jQuery 1.12.4, the shipping version of jQuery, then it's jQuery that needs to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that...
Yeah, no, I mean, this seems wild. Like, it seems like something WordPress should and should update as soon as possible. So
it's a fight. Like, who has to update here? If jQuery is saying, like, we're just, nobody works on this anymore. We're not shipping new versions of 1.x anymore.
Oh, yeah.
WordPress is in a tough position then. I don't know that jQuery has said that. That would seem weird. I think jQuery is too big to say that.
Well, but it looks like they patched it. So there's a patch on September 10th. So I don't know. Yeah, weird.
Disclosed, yeah. Published. I don't know how to even read the security stuff so much, but yeah, I mean, one or the other has got to fix it.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, and then at least a micro version or a big version has to go out to WordPress. You know what I mean? Like I would hope WordPress is kind of moving on, but maybe not. So let's see. I wish I knew more, but the fix is not applied to 1. It's not applied. Okay, anyway, sorry, live googling here.
No, but it's a problem. So WordPress has to decide, if jQuery isn't going to fix it in a timely fashion, do we need to upgrade? And what do we upgrade to? And what are the implications of that upgrade? For any given site owner, like me or you, Steve, or you, Dave, we can just upgrade it easily. It's trivial for us to just go, oh, well, I'm just going to load up a different version of jQuery. I've been doing that for 8 years on CSS tricks. I instead remember in the day that was the popular thing to do was to use the Google CDN to load jQuery. And the idea was, well, then it'll be cached because it's such a popular library that other people probably already have it, yada, yada, yada. That's an ancient way of thinking or whatever, but that was popular. I've been doing that forever. I still do that, I think. I don't even remember, but I definitely load like jQuery 3 or whatever, because I don't care to, I don't need to support IE6. I've dropped that support a long time ago. So it's easy for us site owners. It is a different conversation entirely when you're saying, what does WordPress ship with out of the box? That affects a lot more than any given site owner. It affects a whole swath of the internet. So it's, you know, conversations like that can't just, they're not as simple as armchair decision making, us just being like, yeah, I can't believe they ship jQuery 1.2.4. What idiot faces. They should upgrade right away. Nothing's ever that simple at this
point. I think for you and your customers, you need to update your thing, but WordPress or jQuery need to get their stuff together. But like, you should just, if you know about it, like, I mean, is it like malpractice? Is it like you did not do due diligence by updating? I don't know. But like, hopefully, for you and your customers, you're like already in the process of updating. You know what has frequent security monitoring, Chris? Jetpack. Get a restful night's sleep.
Oh yeah, no kidding. We might as well talk about that a little bit. They are sponsoring this one, so there, maybe we'll have some sponsor music in the background. Chris, I'm thinking like really light banjo stuff. You know, banjo. make it my style.
Play a saxophone. Okay, there it is.
We've talked about a bunch of things that Jetpack did already, but we might as well just pick a different one that Dave segued us into so nicely, which is literally that Jetpack will look at the files of your WordPress installation and find security problems with it. And I think it's part of the VaultPress thing. So it's doing two things. It's backing up your site. And while it's backing up, it's looking at all the files anyway. So it looks for security vulnerabilities. How incredible is that? If it finds one, it can help you fix it and at least tell you about it so you can fix it and be aware of it. Such a big deal because, you know, to be perfectly honest, WordPress is a bit of a target because it's so a huge part of the internet population. If you're a bad person, you know, exploiting WordPress it's going to be difficult for you because it's, you know, it's very, security is taken seriously, of course, by WordPress. But if you happen to beat it one day, you know, it's nice that WordPress themselves is, and they're saving you from yourselves too. I think the more common scenario here is that you did something dumb with your server configuration or security. Somebody got in a way that's not WordPress's fault, is your fault, changed something. And then WordPress is still helping you by finding the problem and letting you know so that you can fix it. And if they get into your database, God forbid, and do something nasty, at least you'll have a backup of that you can roll back to or somehow repair. That's vital. That's one of those things that crosses my mind all the time, is that on any given WordPress site, the theme matters none. If somebody comes in and corrupts some of your theme files, that sucks it's efficient because they can like inject a link on every page of your site or something like that. That's easy to repair. It's a way bigger pain in the butt when somebody gets database access and like actually changes the content of your posts to have a bunch of links and crap in it. Much more nefarious attack, much harder to clean up. Forget the theme, you know, like worst case scenario, your theme gets trashed and you don't have a backup, fine, throw up a default theme. What you don't want is your database to be trashed. So you need to have backups for that as often as you can get. And Jetpack even offers up to about real-time backup. Somebody leaves a comment, boom, it's backed up. That's incredible. Backups and security is a big
Jetpack.
Deal.
Jetpack.com. Can I get a little yakety sax outro?
There you go. Wow, you did it.
But, you know, this is all, you know, your site getting whatever invaded by bad people is bad. But, you know, it sounds like this Jetpack would help you get a restful night's sleep, which is why I recommend Casper Mattresses. Casper Mattresses, best mattresses you can get that come in a box. They are not.
I would take Casper. I would take y'all sponsor.
Shop
Talk
Nation.
Call us
Shop
up. Talk
Nation. You need to get on the Twitters and tell Casper to sponsor this show. You need to say, "Hey,
I'm not even gonna back charge you for all the times we've already."
I know talked. That was a free. That's just a sampling, Casper, of what you might get if you you know, did that. So hey, y'all getting out there, Shop Talk Nation. We need you to kind of seal this deal. Show them how excited you are about sleeping and developing.
All right, your job. You get the next.
Jake McLevy writes in. On the last episode, which who knows when that was, but someone asked the question about whether PSD sliced code, slicing code work was still something that existed. I listened to that question being answered as I was slicing and coding a PSD. Hashtag nice. Brownie face. Do a lot of work for those sort of middle of the road agencies that haven't adapted much beyond the standard code or WordPress theme type of work. Any advice on how to help those type of places move forward towards something a little more advanced or sustainable, such as pattern libraries? My feeling is that a lot of these places don't have the budget to build out something like that, and oftentimes these projects require a quick turnaround. I'm fairly new to this concept, but I'm also curious what you guys would recommend.
So Jake is saying there's agencies out there, of course, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say of course, but this is a thing still, is that they get a client and they're like, okay, we'll find, you know, to solve your website needs, we're going to build you a WordPress site. And we have a design process in which a designer designs up what this WordPress theme is going to look like. They toss it over to a developer. The developer codes a WordPress theme. They deliver it to the client and success happens. You know, there's, of course there's agencies like that. That's fine. I know we talk about fancy crap on this site, like hitting WordPress REST API endpoints to statically build your site to that, you know, render view components that saturate the universe. But, you know, this type of work also exists and is perfectly fine, assuming that the clients are happy and that the needs of the clients are being met. That's great. Jake works at an agency like this and slices and dices sites to make WordPress themes. And so I guess what's the question is that, I don't know, that it's starting to feel old to Jake perhaps, and that what you do when you do that isn't always or is rarely, for example, build a pattern library.
Yeah. My guess is the PSD to HTML thing, like the budgets are really small, so they don't want to go through a big discovery process. I think you do need kind of a client or a team or a product or something of a certain size that is maybe like, you know, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, there's maybe tens, you know, 50 to hundreds of people involved in the kind of building of a product before you kind of like, because that's more about like wrangling new features and decisions. If you're doing PSD to HTML, you're kind of doing one-offs, right? Like you're kind of like building it and then maybe there's like a maintenance contract, but like you're kind of just building it and then we'll just see how it goes, see if it gets traction or whatever. The pattern library stuff is like, okay, here's how we do it for a long time. Here's how we kind of like invest in your website ahead of time or fix what you currently have. So that's how I would approach it. Like, you know, if we just redesign your website, like if we just send you new PSDs and somebody codes these, we're going to have the same problems you have now. Like, you know, you can't update this thing of the website, or you really want like a new thing, but it doesn't fit with the design or whatever.
So you're saying design is more than just a coat of paint.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just kind of have to sell them on this idea of like, or like listen to the client would actually be we do a lot of pattern libraries. That's kind of Paravel's bread and butter, mm-hmm. but I actually don't walk into a place, you know, and just like, okay, I'm going to get them on the pattern library thing. You know, like I kind of just really want to listen to them, hear what their struggles are, hear what they're dealing with, and try to provide the best thing, based on that, you know? So, but yeah, it's, I don't know. It's, tough to say, like, but if the budget's really tiny, like these kind of like just code it and get it up as quickly as possible, you're probably not going to be able to do it. I don't know. Or if you repeatedly have like maintenance problems and breakdowns and it's difficult to launch new features, that's when I would pitch the, or if the website is just a god dang mess, like 40 different buttons, that's the most convincing thing. You like make a PowerPoint.
Yeah, that's an issue.
Of every single button. Do you think on the website?
With a fresh development, you think that wouldn't be an issue? You think that those HIP issues come later? But I don't know. Like, do you find that because you've worked on pattern library type stuff so long, that even if you were to just quickly dev out a site, that it would kind of have pattern library friendly approach just by default, by your muscle memory?
Oh, totally. I mean, Daytrip is kind of an example of that. I mean, we just kind of leaned into patterns, and that let us build things very quickly. Like we had a, you know, like a logging pattern for like, oh, this is like you logged a trip or whatever. Here's like what it looks like. And then we were like, oh, we need comments. And it was like, oh, well, comments and logs are kind of the same thing. Like you're just leaving a comment instead of like saying you visited a place or something like that. So it just ended up like we could recycle patterns and build things out very quickly, even without a design phase. Cause that's the thing you got to think about too. Like design phases are kind of expensive to like pay a designer to sit in front of Photoshop all day. So like, how do you kind of eliminate that and use recycled parts? You know, basically you can have a pattern library that's just a screenshot of things you already have on the website, you know, and just be like, pick A, B, or C.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It actually doesn't have to be a full code mumbo jumbo like everyone thinks is super cool. It could just be a
storybook thing.
Yeah. It just could just be an Envision folder or something. So I don't know. Just be like.
Right. In the early days and see, was that useful or not useful or in what way?
But, you know, I think, you know, it can get more advanced and it can get, you know, more standardized, and you can things like Sketch make it really easy to like build systemic designs, like multi-screen designs that are based on a system. So, you know, there's things go faster if you have a working design system. So it's work up front, but it pays off. I mean, I see that daily. You know, I can build out new pages in hours, not days or months. You know, it's in like literal minutes. I could build a bot, yeah. Swear to God.
And not only do you build it, but you feel like I'm not building it in a one-off way. I'm building in a way that's not going to bite me in the ass later because it's just reuse of things that we already had. I think that's kind of important.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No funky layouts. I mean, even layout, man, like CSS Grid makes it so easy. You can just, you don't have this big grid file that you're working with or whatever, or like you don't have just two layouts. You have like infinite layouts because grids are so easy to spin up. Layouts are so easy now. It just doesn't even, I mean, what a world, what a time. Y'all kids don't even know.
Y'all kids don't even know. This episode of Shop Talk Show is brought to you in part by LogRocket, which is like for creating the perfect front-end bug report. It's like every error that happens is shown in the context of the user that experienced that error with a full video replay. It's like you reproduce an issue and can see it happen as if it happened in your own browser. You do look at it in your own browser. So you're like, watch a video replay. It helps you understand what the user did to trigger that bug. So it's like zero mystery involved when a bug happens, and which is kind of not always perfectly evident in original bug report. So it basically, they instrument the DOM to record the HTML and CSS on the page, recreating the pixel perfect video of like what happened in it. But in addition, they record like console logs, JavaScript errors, the stack trace, all the network requests and responses that happen with a header and the body and all that, browser metadata, all the stuff. So there's everything you need to figure out not only an error happened, what did it look like? Like, can, you know, because sometimes an error gets triggered and that sucks and you should fix that. But like, now you'll know for sure, did it actually impact that user and their user experience of using your site or not? Did it just kind of like happen, some kind of error happened, but it didn't really like stop the user from being what they were able to do? So that's just a big deal. That's just pretty cool. So that's what LogRocket does, the perfect front-end bug report. So it's logrocket.com/shoptalk to check it out. Compare it to other tools out there if you'd like to. There's lots to learn about it. Pretty powerful, pretty cool. You can get started for free. Thanks, LogRocket. Let's see. Well, I'm going to get to you, Ed. We'll make this the last one, okay? Yeah. Ed's got a good one here, similar to some stuff we've already been talking about. Ed Bummings writes in, recently, I was approached by a friend to fix a detail in the footer of her WordPress site.
It
goes. Hey, yeah, you're my friend who does stuff.
Hey, with you websites. Do websites, huh, Ed?
Yeah. I didn't make my website. Can you help me fix my website?
Shoot, Ed.
And Ed says, yes. Gosh, of course I'll fix your website. This is a breeze. I'm a website person. Oh, you'll be so impressed when I fix your WordPress blog footer, which is what she needed done. So I talked about this. Remember when I was working on like a site for a gym and I was like, I just need to help her change the hours in the footer. Mm-hmm. Literally, this happened to me, this exact thing. Mm-hmm. So much like Chris's surprise with his gym website, I spent a couple hours poking around widget after widget after widget after widget. And after a few hours, I had to admit that I couldn't fix her footer and that I was a fraud and that we shouldn't be friends anymore. So the difference between me and Ed, though, he says, is that Ed never got cozy with WordPress. I'm an evolving self-taught developer, and I've been working primarily with a kind of a mean stack approach to website and haven't spent any time at all with WordPress development. So part of that was that I just didn't want to learn PHP because it grosses them out for some reason, and I just didn't want to learn a whole other language right now. So, but he says the WordPress thing is compelling, though. Every conversation about WordPress has the obligatory, you know, WordPress powers 740% of the web, right? Or something.
That's
like
exactly
that.
Exactly how our
podcast. The question, this is, yeah, it is. So this, well, I guess this boils down to, should I take WordPress development seriously in 2018, maybe just as a CMS for customers or overall? If so, how much PHP do I really have to know to feel comfortable with it? I appreciate any insight. So that's what we talked about in a little bit of a way. It's like, you know, should you take this thing seriously? And I have all kinds of thoughts on that. I'm like, I don't know that I'd learn it just for the sake of learning it, but I'd say it's not the worst choice in the world. But I mean, if you're just like, I just want to get really great at a CMS, there's so many other choices too. I mean, WordPress is great, but so is Craft CMS is wonderful and might solve problems even better in some situations or whatever. But I don't think you're going to regret learning WordPress necessarily. But and then there's this whole PHP question thing. Like, I've been writing PHP just forever because of WordPress. I don't think I've ever, outside of really, 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 really simple things, done any like raw, like PHP from scratch work. The most I've ever used it for is like throw up a PHP file so it's got some includes or concurl something or something. But I've never like tried to build my own framework in PHP or whatever. Thus, my PHP knowledge is super, super limited. So, you know, like I'm not a back-end PHP developer. I'm absolutely not. It's always in context of like, you know,
templates.
WordPress functions, yeah. And WordPress plugins and templates and stuff like that. And I've gotten by just fine on that, Ed. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. You know, if you like just, it's not like you have to learn PHP super deeply to be effective in CMS land, you know?
Yeah, it's just, you know, angle question mark. And that's kind of how you get started. You might even like PHP. Here's do you ever like write functions in JavaScript and it's like your JavaScript doesn't work because you wrote out like an HTML or a PHP function, like strip HTML or something like that. And you're just like, this doesn't exist in JavaScript. What a terrible language. There's things about PHP that are really, really intuitive. I cut my teeth learning a lot of PHP WordPress and building out my own custom like MVC sites and stuff like that. So
every language I ever work in, I'm just like, I shouldn't even be going here probably because I'm not like some super experienced backend coder, but you just assume that things are possible. Like, how do you write a switch statement? How do you write an each loop? How do you like, mm-hmm. You need what you need is an each loop. So look up how you do it quick and then you use it. You know, like I've never been one for like to debate the nuances of language, and those debates are cool and fine for those people that want to have them. But usually my life as a developer is just like, I assume that this language is going to have the thing that I need to do in it. And if I don't know how to do it offhand, I'll just look it up quick and it'll be fine. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no. I mean, I think that's like, you can get real far. I don't know. It's an easy path. I think that's maybe WordPress's whole thing is it was kind of, and just PHP in general, it was designed to be kind of easy to get going and not super incredibly frustrating. So there's a lot to take away there, like a very accessible API, and it works on a lot of machines and it's pretty sturdy. And yeah, so I think, if you find yourself like getting into this WordPress stuff, it's definitely worth learning. So I think you just gotta, there's a few conventions about WordPress that'll jam you up. Like, where does everything live? Oh, it's in like a WP content folder. Okay. Themes. Okay. And then some, whatever my theme's name is. And then you spend 90% of your time in that folder. So hopefully you're not modifying WordPress core. So it should be pretty easy after that. So, you know, it's, I would keep at it. I think, I don't know, knowing how to wrangle a WordPress is probably, I don't know, that's like a side business for life. You know what I mean? Like.
That's another thing, like, here is like, if you don't have to take it seriously if you don't want to, but if you're like, maybe I'll absolutely focus on WordPress. Are you going to regret that? Probably not. I mean, you can deep dive into that probably for the rest of your life and make good money doing it because of how much business there is for
it. I didn't really talk about it. But I got, I had money stuff this year that was pretty like we were building a house or we bought a house. So I like cleared out my bank account to buy a house, moved.
Oh, Dave, we have to talk.
Oh, okay.
I'm so there.
I moved. And then we did a little remodeling on the new house. Okay. Austin contractors are expensive. And then we were like, oh, let's sell the old house. Cause like, that's like, we don't want to be landlords, we decided. So we had to paint it, we had to fix the roof, like, and then we get an inspection and all the plumbing is cracked underneath the house, like $20,000 worth of work. And I just was like, and then I got hit with a tax bill too. And I was just like, I'm going to lay on the floor. Cause I don't know where money comes from, you know, like eventually like figured it out and borrowed from parents and whatever. And not so very fortunate, but it was just like we just got hammered and like, you know, but it was like, maybe I just like tweet out like, hey, I'll build your WordPress site for you this week. Like, I mean, it was like getting
the, there. Anybody like, needs a hand?
You need a WordPress site?
Very expensive.
Because like, I'll just build it for you and I can pay my tax bill or, you know, put plumbing under my house. I mean, it was like to that point. And it was like, you know, thankfully, you know, exhausted less like manual labor options. But yeah, I don't know. It was like, you know, just coming back to like, I would definitely have like chose if somebody was like, yeah, I need some help. Like I have a React site or a WordPress site. I would have said WordPress, boom, like easy. So, anyway, that's my thing. So I would, very valuable skill and can get you out of some financial jams or, you know, pay for that vacation your partner wants, you know, it's useful stuff to know. So that's all I'd say. Okay, Chris, I'm done with my financial woes, but yeah, very helpful skill to have in your life. So
indeed. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah, good luck, everybody.
It was fun to chat with you for a while about all things WordPress, and it won't be the last time, I'm sure,
because
I find it all extremely fascinating.
Awesome. Well, thank you, dear listener, for downloading this in your podcatcher of choice, enjoying this on your Casper mattress. We really appreciate that. Be sure to star heart favorite it up. That's how people find out about the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Shop Talk Show for tens of tweets a month. And, you know, check on the Shop Talk Show while you're eating your Blue Apron. Blue Apron is a wonderful way to cook. And if you want to, I'm out of spot. If you hate your job, head to shoptalkshow.com/jobs and get a brand new one. Because people want to hire people like you and read a new book on audible.com. Just listen to the book while you fill out resumes. There you go. Chris, you got anything else you'd like to say?
Shoptalkshow.com.
We better be rich after this episode.